Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. Today, as always, is a very special night as we profile those ulama, those scholars, those imams that have served our community for years with sincerity, with ikhlas, with a vision of wanting to get Islam alive. And as always, their acknowledgement, their service will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, the 15th Juz, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sa'yuhum mashkura. Those that do good for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them the efforts are greatly acknowledged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and appreciated. We have, and unfortunately I should have been in the studios, but distance doesn't allow it, we have Brother Barakatullah, Brother Ubada, and Brother Dawood from Soweto that are live on the studio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakallah all the seniors from the Soweto area. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for coming out. We're speaking of a very great personality that served the community of Dlamini in particular and Soweto in general. We're just going to start at the beginning and y'all can decide who normally was going to take the answers or who's going to answer the questions. We're going to ask, we're speaking of Brother Imam Ibrahim Jarembe. Do I have his name correct?
Not correct.
Not correct. Please do tell me what's his name.
It's Imam Ibrahim Jerryman.
Jerryman.
Yes, yes.
Okay, Jazakallah. I am so sorry for that. I got it from one of the websites, Jerryman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. You want to give us, who's it, Brother Dawood?
It's Brother Ubada, which has corrected you.
Ubada corrected, Jazakallah. Brother Ubada, I want to just ask you, do you want to give us a brief family background of our Imam Ibrahim Jerryman?
Yeah, Imam Ibrahim was married to two wives. The first wife with him were blessed with five children, among them two girls and three boys.
MashaAllah. And where did he originally come from? Was he always from Soweto?
Yes, Soweto, Soweto. In Zondi, yes.
And more or less, how old was Sheikh Ibrahim?
He was around 73.
So he was born around 1945 or so?
Yes, yes.
Yes, MashaAllah. And tell me his initial stages, perhaps you could share some of his younger life, where he grew up, where he schooled, etc.
Yeah, he studied at Orlando High, you know, in Orlando East.
Gee.
Yeah, it was during those times of the Ivan Kozas, you know, sharing class with him and many other very prominent businessmen around Soweto.
Soweto, gee.
Yes.
And after that, did he study some course in Islamic sciences or did he study in any madrasa or anything?
You know, his method of studying was very unique.
Okay.
Because, you know, his was, for the love of Islam. And, the way he studied, it was during those times, you know, of the past Salafi group, if you could remember. Some would say Muravitun.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, you know, during that time when the Muravitun group started, Thursdays there were classes. Every Thursday there were classes until Fajr in the morning.
Allahu Akbar.
From Maghrib to Fajr in the morning. So there, you know, we will study, you know, the Al-Muwatta, the Sahih Bukhari, the Quran, and so on.
In the morning.
In the morning, I'm telling.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar.
And thereafter, what would happen in terms of him growing up? Then he would just carry on staying in the Soweto area?
Yeah, he was in Soweto area. Early in the, 2000, then he moved from Zondi to Orlando East. And then from Orlando East, he would walk from Orlando East for Fajr to Dlamini Mosque. Okay. Every morning.
And how far would that be?
Around 6-7 kilometers.
Every morning you'd walk 7 kilometers for Fajr?
Yes, yes. Something which people who have cars couldn't manage to do it. because some were saying, I don't have petrol, you see.
Allah.
And so my car is not in a good condition. You know, he would walk on his feet from Orlando East to Dlamini Mosque.
Respected listeners, you arrive on Radio Islam International. We're busy with the Ulama Prophet. We have with us Brother Dawood, Brother Barakatullah, and our senior of Soweto, Brother Ubada. We're speaking and we're profiling the life of Sheikh Ibrahim Jarim. And we are speaking with regards to his service to the people. And we are in the initial stages of him growing up and from him being able to play a part for Islam in terms of the area of Soweto. Brother Ubada, tell me, man, I'm just amazed at the life of Sheikh Ibrahim. Would he also be playing a major part in the struggle in the earlier days?
Yeah, during the past, you know, everyone was involved in the struggle.
Okay.
Yeah, but in different ways.
Different ways, okay.
Yes, yes.
What would have been some of the parts you played in the struggle, Brother Ubada?
Yeah, you know, Mojisab, you know, some of the things, you know, we can't pass on the
air.
I'm one of those, you know, who was arrested. Yeah, I think, I was arrested and got my ribs broken, you know, by the boots.
Allah,
you know. Yeah, so more than that, no, I can't say.
Yeah. Brother Barakatullah, let's come to you. When did you get into contact with our Imam Ibrahim Jarim?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And to all the listeners of Radio Islam. Alhamdulillah, the first time I met Father Ibrahim, it was when I accepted Deen in, around 98. That's when I came close to him. I was a bit far from him because when I came close to him, he had some guys who were very, you know, close him, to him, like Brother Ubada, and we were just the beginnings of the time, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's when I started knowing him, coming for Juma Salah in there. One, I can say that during those times, he will more concentrate on the new Muslims than the elderly Muslims, you know, those who were there before. So he'll pay attention on us, you know, he'll greet us, and he'll make sure that we are more comfortable in his, in his company and things like that.
Okay, Brother Dawood, let's get you on. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Brother Dawood, when did you first come into contact with Sheikh Ibrahim Jarim?
My father accepted Islam in the mid 70s.
Okay.
So my father was among those that initiated the building of the Masjid of Dlamini. So my father was a lot closer to Imam Ibrahim at an early stage. At that time, I was away in the Darul Uloom during the time when Imam initially started. But I became a lot closer to Imam at the later stage of his life, where he got most of us involved in the Shura. It's almost as if Imam had a vision that he was going to be leaving this world soon, because in 2009, I don't know if you want to get into that discussion, where he had this fikr in his heart that so many youngsters that grew up under him had studied deen, had receive prominent positions, but we're not playing absolutely no role whatsoever in the activities and the affairs of Soweto. And that bothered Imam a lot. So he had called all of us to a meeting in Dlamini Masjid, where he said, brothers, you've studied this deen, you have all this knowledge, of what benefit is it if none of you are coming close and benefiting the Muslims? So he created a leadership structure which is now assisting to a large extent to keep the Dlamini Masjid alive and going, purely because of the vision that Allah had blessed him with. And that's something tremendous about Imam Ibrahim. His foresight, Allah had given him incredible, incredible vision in so many different things that I can touch on right now, where you could see that this man was way ahead of his time in a number of things. But I literally spent probably from 2009 till I was with him the weekend before he passed away, was the last time I saw him. That's when I became a lot closer to the Imam.
Brother Ubada, you seem to have worked and knew him for a very, very long time, and you seem to have interacted with him quite a bit. When we do these programs on a Thursday night, we concentrate on three different aspects, and perhaps maybe I'm going to ask you, the one we concentrate on is the services the individual rendered to his community. So maybe you can just give us a little bit of insight with regards to the life of Imam Ibrahim. What were some of the services that he rendered? Obviously, Brother Dawood made mention of his vision in trying to get the people to a structure to be able to work in the Dlamini area. What are some of the other contributions that he made to the particular Muslim people in the area of Soweto in the whole, or in Dlamini Masjid in particular?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Imam Ibrahim was a very unique man when it comes to unifying, you know, the people. The people, such that the people around the masjid, every house that stands around the masjid there in Dlamini, the people there are friends to the Imam. You know, you can see this whenever, during that time when our masjid was bombed, you know, every person, regardless of religion, was very angry and very supportive to the masjid, the people of the masjid of Soweto, to an extent that, you know, marches were made to protest against what the Buremach has done to the church of the Muslims. This is what the Christians and non-Christians used to say, that this church brought peace in this place. The priest is a very good person, in such a way that whatever he has, he knew our houses. Imam Ibrahim knew in which houses the people are very less when it comes to sustenance and so on. You know, some don't work and some are suffering. The sick people around the masjid, you know, he knew everybody there.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever someone was sick, Imam would go there. Sometimes he would call us, you know, as the people who work very close to him, and say, guys, let us put our hands together and help in that house because there's no food that side, you see. So at a place whereby there are funerals, every time, you know, he'll call us and say, let us go and give support to that family, because these people are our neighbor, you know, at all the times. And as a result of that, you will always find that, you know, the people in the neighborhood, whenever they see a thug, you know, trying to jump the fence or doing something wrong at the masjid, you know, they will pursue that particular person, fight him in order that he mustn't cause any damage to the masjid, because they loved the masjid because of him.
SubhanAllah.
Yes.
Respected listeners, you are with myself, Ubaidullah Boja, on the Ulama Profile, and we're speaking about Sheikh Ibrahim Jarim, and we have with us in guest Brother Barakatullah, Brother Dawood, and Brother Ubada, seniors of the area, and they are now giving us advice and insight to his life. As we normally do, let's just briefly go. Sheikh Ibrahim was born around the 1940-45, around there somewhere. He grew up in the area of Orlando East. He attended the school there as well. Some of his classmates were Ivan Kosa. He had a unique love and concern for Islam, but also his thirst for Islam was such, when they had classes, he would sit on a Thursday from Maghrib till Fajr in classes. Around 2000, he moved, and from there, he would walk daily for Fajr Salah, approximately 6 to 7 kilometers, at a time where people were not even eager to be able to take their car out for Fajr. He would go and he would walk. Particularly, Brother Barakatullah made mention that the new Muslims in the area, he would pay much attention to them so as to draw them closer. Brother Dawood made mention that he was a visionary, that his understanding of what was required to be done, getting the people together and putting things together in terms of making sure that Dlamini Masjid runs well. We also learned that the neighborhood of the area was such that they loved the Muslims because of the support that Sheikh Ibrahim gave to them. And this is a lesson for you and I. You know, when we go to the masjid, we park the car wherever we want to. We part inconveniencing people. Here the Imam is helping people. So if they see somebody that's causing harm to the masjid, those that are not even believers, they make sure the masjid is protected. Brother Barakatullah, coming back to you, what are some of the qualities that Sheikh Ibrahim had that you would like to share with the listeners that they could implement in their own life?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, we have learned a very lot from our father and educator as a leader, you know, and he had a very tremendous qualities that some of us learned from him. I would start by saying he was a mender of hearts. Even though, like, sometimes you'll find that brothers will have difference of opinions, he will mend the hearts in such a way that on resolving the matter that brothers are having arguments on, you know, the brothers will still be friends in it. You know, he'll bring them together with love and muhabbat. And together with that, our brother Imam Ibrahim, he was more involved on our social work also. You know, as we know that most of the time we had our new Muslims, you know, and some of the new Muslims in their homes, they'll, you know, chuck them out and say, you know what, since you became a coolie now, you think you're better and things like that. And, you know, new Muslims, they'll be chased away, some of them, and then he'll call us and then we'll go and, you know, try and speak to the parents of the, you know, the brother who's aggrieved in that kind of, you know. And then also we'll have kind of problems where we'll have a lobolo negotiations, you know. He was more of those kind of, you know, lobolo negotiating and trying to negotiate lobolos for some brothers also who intend to get married in that. So he was more on those kind of social, you know, work that he used to teach us as to what to do. And just to a little bit, an experience that I also shared from our brother Imam Ibrahim was that at times, at about in the morning when I see his call, now I'll know that no, right, then now somebody has passed on. Because each time when there's a mayat and a janaza, first person that he'll, you know, phone me and to say, you know what, I must come and help him, you know, to wash and, you know, wash the mayat and things like that. And I was so afraid and scared. And he'll never leave me, you know, in, you know, taking part in washing the mayat and things like that. You know, so we have learned a very lot from him in that regard, alhamdulillah.
Brother Dawood, let's hear some of your input with regards to some of the qualities with regards to Imam Ibrahim.
There is just so much you can speak about the men. Allah had given them incredible qualities. One of them, we would say, was a jack of all trades. Ubabu Ubada has made mention of the forming of the masjid. Imam was responsible for building the masjid. He was a builder, he was a carpenter, he was a plumber, he was an electrician, he could sew his own clothing. And the beauty of the Imam, and it goes back to the visionary side, when he was rebuilding the masjid, it was easy for him to have taken money and got contractors to do it. No, that was not our Imam. He got the youngsters of the masjid and passed on the skills that he had to youngsters. Even now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembered him and took him back, he was busy building at my place. He was halfway through when the illness that eventually took his life got hold of him. So that was the type of person that Imam Ibrahim was in terms of physical and practical skills that he did. So he was not your typical Imam that would walk in, read Salah and go. Imam Ibrahim would be in an overall. Adhan would go, he would take the shower, he would come back. You know, majority of the things we're now discovering, the man was the security in the masjid, the man was the muazzin in the masjid, the man was a caretaker in the masjid, the man was a cleaner. And in that same vein, I want to mention his wife was incredible support to him, even when he was building the masjid, in maintaining and keeping the masjid clean. Now that he's gone, already 2 to 3 people have to be brought into the masjid just to fulfill what Imam Ibrahim was doing as a single and one person. So that's one of his qualities. But despite all that, all those things that Imam Ibrahim used to do, an incredible quality that he had was time for people. Whenever you walked into the masjid, he would be up the stairs, busy building. but he would come all the way down, no matter who came. And it's almost as if he had more hours in the day. As Barakatullah mentioned, some of us would come in and say, Imam, there's somebody who's looking to get married, and we need somebody elderly to accompany them to negotiate that. Imam, always available. Imam, my own grandmother passed away. Imam stopped everything he was doing, very instrumental in organizing the janaza. That was just some of the things, but any time anyone came, Imam always had time for the person. Another great quality that Imam had was similar to what you would hear Sahaba refer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All of us that were close to Imam, especially those in the shura and other activities, felt that we were the closest to the Imam. Only now when he passed away, everyone felt, no. You know, Imam gave me so much attention. I must have been the one that's the closest. Now you discover when everyone else is telling that story that that's the quality. And Allah had given him incredible, incredible things. Barakatullah touched on him being a reconciler. And part of the visionary things that he did was that he realized that most of us were coming to the masjid for things like Zulu Nasheed. He's the one who encouraged us. He said, brothers, let's make the masjid alive. He turned majority of our weddings. You know, most of us are new in Islam, so it's difficult to figure out what we can or cannot do. Imam was the one who would say, we're not at a funeral. Brothers, sing. Let's make this a happy occasion. And you would be the first one to lead us in song, to lead us in movement, and things like that. So he understood Islam. He understood his people and made sure that people got that picture and enjoyed Islam in all different aspects. Trained a number of people, always had time for people. Barakatullah touched on him being a peacemaker. When we started off, when he created the shura, obviously youngsters, the tempers were fled, and Imam Ibrahim had an incredible quality of just calming the situation with very few words. He was not a man of many words. And he was always encouraging youngsters. The minute you walked in, some of us had very little knowledge of deen, but visited madrasas, visited darulums. Imam was not the one who would say, I'm the Imam, I'm rushing to the musalla. The minute he saw any of us, be it Juma or any other time, he gave us the platform. I'm going to go on to Eid. I know I'm taking a bit of time, but...
You may do so.
Eid day. Majority of us would be the ones with the jubbas and looking all good and giving speeches and standing in front of people. What is Imam Ibrahim doing? Running around packing shoes, running around collecting money, running around making sure people are sitting in comfortable positions, away from the limelight. Imam Ibrahim shied away completely from the limelight, made everyone else shine, but he was the wind behind all of us. As I say, we now have an Amir, a leader. All of us, when we needed advice, we needed somebody to talk to. Imam Ibrahim, wallahi, I don't know how to express the loss that Soweto has had. That, you know, it's almost as if we're speaking of Dlamini, which is unfair because his impact was so much stronger across all of Soweto. Rockville, some of the brothers that are now in management or running, or the brothers that are responsible in that masjid, got their understanding, their learning, their appreciation from Imam Ibrahim. Let me not talk so much as if I'm the only one in the studio. I do have other people, but we are talking truly, truly of a giant of a human being. Allah gave him incredible, incredible qualities that those of us that Allah had blessed us to be in his company are truly at loss for words. As I've said, just trying to fulfill just some of the responsibilities just in the masjid. We're battling to cope with that. One man used to do that by himself. Not a word of complaint. Not one word. Even when he was sick, Imam Ibrahim took so long to go to the masjid because the person he was not one to complain. Even when you would see that the Imam is in difficulty and you'd say, Imam, are you okay? No, brother, just make dua. Inshallah, I'll be okay. Inshallah, I'll be okay. That's the person we're talking about.
SubhanAllah.
Brother Ubaida, I'm coming back to you and I'm going to ask you now a little bit more personally. What were some of the incidents that you and him would have together, or you would be with him now as a friend, not as an Imam, not as a leader? How was he as a friend to you? And what were some of the experiences you had? What were some of the incidents, the joyous ones, the good ones that you remember that stood out for you, remembering Imam Ibrahim now as a friend?
Alhamdulillah, you know, I really had someone, you know, whose life and his teachings I will never forget. Because, you know, this brother, he was always welcoming. You know, if you could find from those people who attended his funeral, then you'll be very much amazed, you know, that I can't count how many thousands people were there. You know, Soweto Masjid, since its, I mean, its inception in 1985, it has never been, I mean, that full, whereby some Muswallis could not pray in it. But during his funeral, you know, some, the big Jama was outside and they could not go in while Salah was on. And then he was, you know, somehow a person of, I mean, a public relation officer. You know, whoever comes at the masjid, he was always welcoming. You know, I can tell you of one of his most favorite restaurant in Lenasia. You know, the Bismillah restaurant. Yes, and then at some time we went there, I don't know, you know, what was happening. And then I think thrice we went to Al Qadir. And then by going there, it was not only me and him. When he goes to Bismillah restaurant in Al Qadir, you must know that there are visitors coming from afar. And he would not let any of the visitors coming from other provinces, you know, go back hungry and so on. First, we'll make Salah, if it is time for Salah. After Salah, then he will form the Bismillah restaurant. Then we will go with our, guests and eat there. And again, you know, he was a very unique person in such a way that, you know, the old Muslims, he was not very close to them. He would always like to meet the new ones. And whenever there are gifts that the brothers from the entire Muslim community brings at Dlamini Mosque, you know, those gifts will be given to the new Muslims and the non-Muslims who are passing by. If they happen to look at his direction, he will say, come, and also give them, you know, the wayfarers, you know, those who pass by the masjid.
The masjid,
yes, yes. I mean, with the old ones, you know, when I ask him, I say, no, Sheikh, I mean, Imam, why don't you give those? He says, no, those, they understand the deen, you see. So these new ones, they don't understand it. Let us bring them closer in order to give them a time that they should learn the deen, so that tomorrow they become our leaders.
Subhanallah.
Yes, and then, you know, he will be invited in as far as the other provinces, the Newcastle, you know, Limpopo, Northwest, all over, you know, travel, I mean, Cape Town, whenever there are events, the people admired him a lot to say, no, Imam, come, you know, got these invitations to come and be their guest. Yes.
Respected listeners, we are profiling the Imam of Soweto Dlamini Masjid, Brother Ibrahim Jarim, and we are speaking, and I'm just totally taken aback by the great qualities that this sincere Alim of Deen had in terms of spreading Deen in that area, and the vision that he possessed with regards to making us realize how we should actually be living a life of wanting to have people closer to the masjid and sacrificing that extra time that you had to be able to make people feel comfortable. Brother Barakatullah, what were some of the personal interactions you had with Sheikh Ibrahim?
Allahu Akbar. There is so much to say, man. Mawli Ubaidullah, we can't even do justice on this giant.
And 100%, what you're saying is so true. Allah make it such that we are able to live in these footsteps, inshallah.
I can say that openly, our Imam has displayed the quality of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have learned a lot from him. Like on the qualities of Ikram, Allahu Akbar, that was so much in him. He could, you know, forgo his rights, you know, for others. And you could see that in some instances, perhaps we had a function in our masjid, and then we're serving the community, and then he'll be the last and the final one to partake in the food. And then in that, looking at him, because I would make sure that I don't partake before he partakes. Oh, so in that, eventually our food will be cold. because he'll insist that no, Red Barakatullah, you eat first. No, I'll insist that no, Imam, you eat first. No, you eat. Now the food will get cold, you know. So, but eventually he'll just have mercy on me and he'll partake, and then I'll partake after him, you know. So such qualities that he displayed, that at every given time and age, you will find everybody feeling very, very comfortable close to our Imam Ibrahim. And then together with that, the community at large, if a person will have, perhaps there's a wedding in there, every one of us will consider Ibrahim as the first person to invite. Why? Because we felt that when he's around us, we got the blessings of Allah Ta'ala with us.
Allah.
He had such nurani, you know, existence with him, that wherever he is, you know, there's calm, there's peace, and such a sense of humor that you can, Allahu Akbar, such a sense of humor, he'll keep us laughing in other ways, man, you know. And, you know, in such short ways that our Hafiz Dawood has said, that he was not a man of, you know, long, you know, speeches and talking long of things. He'll just use short words and he'll just touch your heart. He used to mend our hearts. He used to love us, man. He brought us close, very close to the ways of loving according to the ways and the teachings of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Brother Dawood, coming back to you, perhaps you want to share one or two incidents with our listeners this evening regarding our Imam Ibrahim.
There's just so much to share. I remember about 3 or 4 years back, there were about 40 cows that were given to the Dlamini Masjid for the community of Soweto.
So now there were 40?
About 40 cows that were given to slaughter during the Qurbani time. And I'm now ashamed to think, when I hear the Imam's age, Imam worked and slaughtered in every one of those cows. Okay. So the one quality of the Imam was that if there was work, Imam Ibrahim, that's where you would find him. That's where he was in his element, quietly doing what needed to be done. When we had great scholars or leading people coming to the masjid, Imam Ibrahim would send us forward. He'd be busy cleaning toilets. He'd be busy looking after shoes. He'd be busy setting up, making sure the gates are fine, making sure the protection. Never. Imam Ibrahim was never one for the limelight. Even if you look at the number of pictures we take when there's things taking place in the masjid, it's rare that you find Imam Ibrahim there, because he was somewhere doing the work that we're sitting there looking like the important people. Imam Ibrahim is the one making sure the toilets are clean, making sure all the... That's the quality of the man. I never saw Imam Ibrahim sitting and relaxing when there was work to be done while other people did their work. He would be the last one to finish. Even the clean-up situation, because the easiest part, we all partake when there's work and whatever else. But the clean-up itself, Imam Ibrahim would be the last person involved in picking up papers. And this man is the Imam. All of us regard him as a father, but those are the type of jobs and responsibilities he gave himself every time.
Allah.
We have approximately 10 minutes to the close of the program. Respected listeners, we are speaking and profiling a giant in the service of Deen, Sheikh Ibrahim Jarem, and he is one of those people that serve the community tirelessly. We have just about 10 minutes left before we have to close the program. We're going to be asking now and coming down closer to the end of the program. Before I ask all of the brothers to give us some of their closing remarks, I'm just going to ask one of them, take us through to the last maybe few months of his life, and then his illness and his burial, and thereafter we close the program down, inshallah. I don't know, Brother Barakatullah, you would like to speak, or Brother Ubaida?
I think this one is for the rest of us, more especially the member of the Shura, as representative here, who is Hafiz Dawood Mndebele.
Hafiz Dawood, maybe we're going to request you, give us the last portion of his life, and thereafter his burial and funeral, and thereafter, inshallah, we will just ask you all for your closing remarks, inshallah.
Imam Ibrahim's last last year was big part of it was concerned in strengthening the Shura. He did a lot of work. He initiated the leadership structure that we have in Soweto in 2009, And towards the end, he played a very big role in reconciliation in some of the differences. And I actually remember one of the last meetings, the last few differences that brothers had was the last time we had any difference was when he sort of handled that particular part. For me personally, Imam Ibrahim was at my house almost every day till he became sick. He was busy building at my place, so I got to see him every day. The unfortunate thing was Imam started becoming ill, but because of a man that was so full of responsibility, spent a lot of time trying to fulfill what he had promised, but eventually the sickness became a bit much for him. He was ill for a while, where he kept staying in the masjid, eventually went to hospital. The condition became severe. He became a bit better, came back home, and the condition became even more difficult, and eventually went back to hospital. I was fortunate enough to see him the weekend before he passed away. We were there with his son. He constantly was mumbling, and when you got close to him, I don't know if it was Quran, but you could hear a bit of Arabic in his recital, but he was in a lot of pain. We realized that the last week it was a bit difficult for our Imam, and Allah remembered him.
Respected listeners, we are speaking about the life of Sheikh Ibrahim Jarim, and Brother Hafiz Dawood is taking us very emotionally through the last few moments of Sheikh Ibrahim's life and the difficulty he experiences and the emotions that people had experienced. Sheikh Hafiz Dawood, please do take your time and take us through the last few moments and obviously the burial of our Imam.
Just before Brother Dawood come back, on these last days, he would always, because I frequented the visits together with his family, he would always say, by the time while he was still able to talk, because at a very, very last day, he couldn't even talk. Sometimes he couldn't even see you, you see. But during those times that he was able to talk, he would always ask of the brothers, how are the brothers? How's things? And then I remember one day we had an event to honor him, and such as Ubabu Abdul Malik Ndebele and Sheikh Said Ali Zange, who are the foundations of the Soweto Islam. You know, since his name was included in the honoring, he would always ask me, when is the event taking place? Then I would tell him that no, just few days left. He would say, Mashallah, I hope it will be fine, Inshallah. And then we say, Inshallah, Imam, you will also get well, and then you will join, Inshallah. Then these were his remarks, you know, at his last day while he was still able to talk, Inshallah. And then now, from here, let me pass it over to Sheikh Baragatullah.
Allahu Akbar. May Allah Ta'ala grant him maghfirah.
Ameen, ameen.
Stages in Jannah, indeed. Our amanat dar, Brother Ibrahim. Subhanallah. What to say, Mawlana Ubaydullah? What to say, man? Now, his doubt also has taken us very deep and down now. With such tears on the studio, it's not looking very good. What I can say is that we have to so much to learn from our Sheikh Ibrahim. One is that the amanat dar, he will always keep the trust, you know. And whatever, he was very trustworthy. So we have learned in whatever, you know, circumstances, and then but the amanat of whatever, like the personal things that you'll discuss with him, he'll keep it with him, you know. And then together with that, the honor of other Muslims also, he'll always try and protect that as much as possible, you know. And then together with that, the last and the most important thing that we need, you know, to spread amongst ourselves is the love that he taught us, you know. And then more than anything else, subhanallah, the last days, those were the heaviest days in our lives. what else can we say, man? Allah Akbar.
So I think one of the things, the remarks that you hear coming from everyone, is that they've seen funerals. Very few people have seen a janaza of that size.
Allah.
To an extent that the janaza took place quite late, and the reason for that, we had brothers from Durban, brothers from Cape Town, who said, brothers, whatever you do, this man has touched my life in such a positive manner, please do not send him back to his creator without us having been there to fulfill the haqq of this man. So the delay that we had in the janaza was precisely because everyone wanted to be present. The initial time was after Dhuhr. We had to move it to 3 o'clock, move it to Asr, eventually taking place after Isha, because every person kept phoning and saying, brothers, you cannot go proceed without me being present.
Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd.
And then also that it will remain in our minds is that in his very last days, he emphasized, you know, the spirit of oneness within Muslims, regardless of the followingship of the Madhaifs and so on. You know, he will always say, we are all Muslims. You know, we can learn from the brothers from other Madhaif, and they can learn from us. And then, you know, the people, who can tell you best about him, his welcoming way, you know, the Jamaat brothers, you know, the Tablighi Jamaat, whenever they are there, always sit with them. Some will stand up and leave, but Imam will never leave them, and he will always encourage, you know, the Muswalis that, no, sit, you may get a word that, a teaching that you never came across since ever in your lifetime in Islam. So don't just stand up and go without having a reason as to you are rushing a train, you are rushing a taxi and so on. But if you have time, sit and listen.
Quality of tolerance.
I think the last point that I probably want to share with a number of brothers was what Imam Ibrahim would happen is, remember the environment in Soweto, there's sometimes tension. But our Indian brothers bad this. And Imam Ibrahim's words that I'll always remember would say, brothers, the same good you wish for yourself, you must wish for our Indian brothers. Brothers, we are not Indians, we are not blacks, we are ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was every time brothers would get excited about it, anything that had gone wrong, he'd say, brothers, they are still our brothers. As much as we are worried about our condition, we must be worried about their condition. So if they've made that mistake, they've made it as our brothers, we need to get closer to them and assist them to get over that difficulty in the spirit of brotherhood. He always emphasized that, do not use these labels that are going to divide us further. We are all ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Brother Barakatullah, Brother Ubadah, Hafiz Dawood, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all abundantly for sharing. I my only regret is I should have met him many years previously to learn from his great qualities. May Allah grant us a good replacement in his absence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the masjid a imam that will be able to work like him and even better.
Ameen.
Most importantly, may Allah give him the highest of places in heaven. May Allah accept all his services for the ummah, for the people of the different areas he visited. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us till we all enter Jannah together, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen.
JazakAllah so much for your time this evening.
Ameen.
Respected listeners, that was the life of Sheikh Ibrahim Jareem. And just taking you through some of the aspects, he was not only an imam, he was a builder of the masjid, he was a plumber of the masjid, he was a person who would negotiate the labola for the people of the area, he would be the one that would be at their nikahs, he would be the one that would be at their funerals, he would be the one that would be the peacemaker in the area, he was known, or he was lovingly known, as the PR man of the area, always making sure the public relations are very, very well. His aspect of ikram, he would forgo his rights for everybody. Whenever there was a function, he would put everybody in the front and he would make sure the people at the back are seen to. There was a time whereby 40 cows were given to the masjid, and he tirelessly worked on all those cows, slaughtering them, making sure they skin correctly, and working on the cow himself. at the very late part of his life, when he was partly elderly, maybe above the age of 60, and that is the person we discussed today, one SMS that comes in, Mawlana, what a gem the Ummah has lost. Undoubtedly we have, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us many, many good replacements, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it tight. This is the last program before, now the month of Ramadan is coming, we will not be having the ulama profile. We will try and carry on inshallah after the month of Ramadan. I do have a slot in the month of Ramadan inshallah, but perhaps as the program unfolds, that will be made known to each one of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this coming month a fruitful, a spiritual month, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from each one of the listeners the great amount of ibadat and good they will be doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until we meet again next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.